Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to the book of John, John chapter number 3 in the Word of God today, John chapter number 3 in the Word of God today, and as you find your place here in John chapter number 3, I want you to please stand with me for the reading of God's Word, and over the last several weeks, we've taken a break now in the month of January from a series that we're going to be heading back into here in the month of February, looking at Heroes of the Faith. And today we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture in John chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verse number 16 here in just a moment. Now, I know oftentimes we come into church, especially on a Sunday morning, and man, I'm telling you, just if you're raising a family, it could get very hectic. It gets very crazy. Everybody's trying to get ready. I'm raising four daughters right now, and I really don't have anything to do with getting them dressed in the morning. My wife does all of that, so I don't have really a whole lot of room to complain. But nonetheless, we can get everybody ready, and we try to get to church, and it gets crazy and super cold out right now. Somebody told me this morning it's supposed to be in the 40s this week, and somebody else told me it was supposed to be like in single digits this week. Either somebody's lying or it's just Indianapolis area, but I think we might have both. But we can come in, and all of a sudden we get into church, and we're here, and we begin to go through the service, and we kind of blink, and then it's done. And we don't tune in to what really we're here for. And I want to remind us that we're here for a reason today. I love the song that the ladies just sung. And ladies, I mean this when I say it. I really want you to write that song down and sing it maybe in the month of July or August. Whiter Than Snow is not the greatest to be singing about right now in the month of January. We're kind of like, oh, yeah, we're sick of snow. But singing in July or August, we'll really enjoy it. Amen. But nonetheless, when we think about these songs, Whiter Than Snow, and some of the other hymns that we sang today, and many have deep meaning. And they're rooted and ingrained in us. But sometimes we sing these hymns a lot. We hear these songs. We even come to a passage of Scripture like John chapter 3 and verse number 16. And for some of you who are visiting a church today, you haven't been in church a long time. And we open up to this verse. You're like, oh, yeah, I know this one in my heart. I've heard this one before. John 3:16. There's a lot of people at ball games that hold up the poster of John 3:16. And also we forget that this has deep meaning. We forget how incredible the words are that we are about to read. And I'm going to ask all of us today, whether you are a visitor, whether you've been a part of this church, and we were on the old Eagledale property, it doesn't matter today. And as we approach this passage of Scripture, I'm going to ask today that all of us say this: Lord, give me something from your word. Speak to me today. Excuse me, let me help you out for just a moment. We can all look at somebody in this auditorium like, they need this. Yeah, I'm glad they're here today. Boy, I'm telling you what, that text must have gotten through to pastor and he's going to preach on this because they need a lamb blasted today. Let me tell you, nobody's texted me today. I've been on Facebook and saw somebody do something crazy. I'm like, you know what, I'm going to change my message, God. I'm going to all weapons pointed at them today. No, comprehend. I just want to preach what God has given and laid on my heart to preach today. And I want us to pray, not for somebody else. Oh man, I hope they're tuned in live stream because boy, no. Lord, what will you have for my life and my heart today? John chapter 3 and verse number 16, a dialogue has taken place. Nicodemus has come to Jesus in the middle of the night and begins to ask him questions. And God begins to answer those questions and gives us some of the most miraculous passage of Scripture. And one of these verses says this. Look at verse number 16 of the book of John in chapter 3. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How many believe this verse is true? Would you say amen today? Amen. Would you read it along with me? John 3:16. If you don't have a Bible, just kind of guess. If you don't, just sit quiet, but I want you to read this verse with me or say it by memory, John 3:16, beginning with, "For God so loved." Would you start right now? Ready? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'd like to preach a message today entitled, "The Greatest Love Story." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. Now, Father, I ask, Lord, as we approach it, that, Savior, our hearts would be guided, our minds would be in tune. And, Father, I ask, Lord, that you would allow us to change where we need to change today. Father, this truly is the greatest love story. Father, it's not a love story that Hollywood came out with or Hallmark Channel or, Father, something that took place that we've read of years ago in a play. No, Father, the greatest love story is found right here where you sent your only begotten Son to die for a world that rejected him and hated him and tortured him and hung him on a tree. And yet he cried out, not with revenge, not with I'll get them back, but no, it is finished. Thank you, God. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This has to be one of the most popular verses in the Word of God. There is no doubt, we look at John and chapter number 3 and verse number 16, that these words so giving. I don't think there's ever been 25 words that have ever been so beautiful. They're so lovely. They're incredible. So one-sided. We look at these passage scripture, we look at this verse. This verse, if you and I will take a hold to it, if you and I will come to comprehend it, if you and I will begin to understand that this is aimed and directed at you and I, this verse will help us through some very difficult times in our life. When you and I are sad, when you and I are depressed, when you and I are bitter, this verse is there to help you and I through those tough times at work, when the manager or the boss doesn't treat us correctly, when you go through a bitter divorce, when you've been there in those times of not getting along with the spouse or not getting along with a teenager, not getting along with another brother or sister in Christ, when you and I have been through those difficult heartaches of being told that you have stage 4 cancer, or going through those bitter times and those difficult moments when God takes somebody home that we love and adore so much, and we cannot imagine life without them, and we cannot imagine going through day by day without seeing them in our lives. When you and I go through those difficult circumstances, that's when we begin to comprehend the greatest love story that has ever been told. That's the moment you and I begin to realize that we have an Abba Father that is there for us and with us. He is not against us, but He is there leading and guiding and directing and lifting us up when we go through those tough times. When we go through those moments when we can't depend on anybody else. We can't depend on a health system. We can't depend on politics. We can't depend on maybe even a mother or father or someone who has grown old, and we can't depend on a manager or a boss. But let me tell you something, friend. We have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. His name is Jesus Christ, and he begins to tell Nicodemus in the middle of the night one of the greatest love stories that have ever been told. No, it is not Hamlet. No, it is not something that has been written by man or woman. No, this is a true, real life historical account of a God that has always existed, exists today, and will always exist, sending His only begotten Son for you, friend, and for me. This love story that you and I are talking about today, watch now very carefully, it encompasses everyone in this room. How many are thankful for that? Would you say amen today? First of all, I want us to look at, number one, the breadth of our Savior's love. The breadth of His love. He said this, for God so loved the world. This love is huge in our life and in our friend's life and family's life. This love is comprehensible for the entire world. The breadth of our Savior's love. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2 says it like this, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins, check it out, of the whole world. That means that His love is from pole to pole. His love is from the east, is from the west. His love is from wall to wall and mountain from mountain. The love of God covers every man, woman, boy, girl, child, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, extended family. There are none that are exempt. There is none that is excluded. There is not a race, a color, a creed that is rejected. His love is for the entire world. And I'm going to put it this way, friend, because this is a hot topic. This is a topic that is coming up in our school systems. This is a topic that is coming up on whether you're Fox News or CNN. It doesn't matter today. This is something that they're talking about at work and all over. Let me put it this way. Race is coming up a lot. The word racism is used oftentimes and sometimes even taken out of context, but absolutely, and it's talked about nowadays. I'm going to put it this way, friend. God does not look at color. God does not look at you and I and say, well, I'll let you come because you're Caucasian. I'll let you come because you're black. Or I'll let you come because you're Hispanic. Or I'll let you come because you're Laotian. I'll let you come because you're Chinese. No, friend, let me put it this way. The breadth of God's love is this. His love covers everyone. Therefore, when you and I begin to comprehend that kind of love, we don't look at other people for their color of their skin. You and I don't look at them as, well, we're this and we're bigger, we're better, we're more awesome, we're smarter. No, let me tell you something, friend. When you and I comprehend the love of God, we understand that it doesn't matter black or white or a Hispanic. It doesn't matter what nationality. His love covers it all, friend. And you and I ought to be the same way. God forbid a Christian ever look at somebody else because of the color of their skin and cut them down. God forbid we ever look at somebody because of the color of their skin and not witness to them or not knock on their door or not hand them a tract. Let me tell you something, friend. God's love is for everybody in the Indianapolis area. And whether you and I agree with the administration or not, God is bringing a mission field to our back doors in our neighborhoods. And friend, they don't need Muhammad. They don't need Buddha. They need Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. And may it be you and I that gets out them on every street corner and every mail that goes out and every tract that is handed out. May you and I think about the breadth of God's love. And the breadth of God's love is this. It's not just for whites and it's not just for blacks. It's not those. No, friend. It covers everybody if you read that say amen today. God forbid in our churches today we ever look down at somebody. This church is not just a black church or a white church or a Hispanic. This Cross Point Baptist Church and this property at 220 Country Club Drive or Road, I was getting mixed up. This property that you and I sit on today, it is open and available for everybody who wants to walk in those back doors. Anyone. In fact, to be honest with you, we welcome that. And look in and, well, okay, here comes so-and-so. No, friend, praise God. Amen. Here they come. You pray for Carrie and I, and especially my wife. She is very burdened. In our neighborhood, we've got quite a few Indians who have been moving in, and we've been building, and others that live in our neighborhood, you comprehend, you understand. And it's very different witnessing to them. I mean, you have to start at absolutely nothing. Genesis 1:1 is where you got to take them. A lot of friendship, a lot of love, a lot of care. It's very, very different. But if you and I truly seek first the kingdom of God, we're going to comprehend that He loves those people in our neighborhood. And He died for them. And friend, I know in our schools and everywhere else, there's segregation that's coming back in. And boy, they're trying to separate us. And politics will do that. Politics will try to separate, and they're trying to set us apart, and they'll try to move in such a way. But let me tell you what God does. His love brings you and I together. And it's not a white-only church or black-only church or only Hispanic church. Let me tell you something. It is the church of the living God. And you and I come together understanding that this is our foundation. This is our word. We are not based upon what pastor thinks. That we're not based upon, well, they've always done it that way. No, our final authority is found in the very word of God. Now, you and I always come together. We live in Indianapolis. This place is growing like crazy. I'm super excited about it. I know some of you have been here forever, and I like farmland too, and I'm all about farmland, but you can go out towards Brownsburg, and there's a lot of people who can sell you houses in this very church, and just seek one of them out, and the realtor will tell you, you can go buy some farmland, and we'll come out and visit you. But as God continues to grow this place, and I get frustrated, 36 got absolutely crazy last year. We didn't want to stay away from Chick-fil-A, but we had to get to Chick-fil-A, the Lord's chicken, amen. So it was crazy getting out of there. It's crazy getting out of there. But as crazy as this traffic gets, you and I have got to look up it through it with the lens of who cares the traffic patterns? The Lord looked out there on the people. And he had compassion upon them and began to weep. Why? Because they are sheep with no shepherd. And you and I have the gospel. We have the answer. Sure, frustrated with traffic. Sure, all the schools say, oh, this. Friend, we have the breadth of God's love. And that love covers everyone. Not only do we see the breadth, we also see the length of God's love. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 86 and verse number 15, but thou, O Lord, art full of God. Listen to what it says here. Watch now. Thou art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Thou, God, art a God that's full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering. Thou art plenteous in mercy and truth. What is the length of God's love? His love is plenteous. His love is merciful. His love is gracious. God's love is not only universal in its scope, but it is long-suffering in its forbearance. God is compassionate, and God is gracious, and God is long-suffering, and God is merciful. Let me tell you something, friend. I did not deserve to receive it, nor do I deserve to keep it. But the Lord has been so good to me, Thomas Shepherd, in my life. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I get to. I don't deserve to hear the trumpet sound, but I'm going to. I don't deserve to spend the rest of my eternal life in a place called heaven where He has gone to prepare a place for me. But let me tell you something, friend. I get to. Why? Because of the length of God's love. And He said this. He said, I am full of compassion, and I am full of grace, and I am full of mercy. This is the length of God's love. And yet, check it out. I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just, as the Holy Spirit moves, you just buckle your seatbelt, because I'm going to move right along with it. But I'm going to tell you this, friend. How come we can accept His grace, and we can accept His mercy, and we can accept His love, but we cannot give it? Now we're in trouble. See, all of a sudden, we're like, whoo, yeah, we're church members. We go to Cross Point Baptist. Yeah, we're all in. We're good. We sing the hymns. We know every Fanny Crosby song. You know, John 3:16, got it memorized. Yes, sir. I didn't have to open my Bible today. Man, we're good and we're great. And we just think we are all that. And yet, will it be accepting of God? But we don't let His love flow through us. We walk into church acting like it's all about us, and boy, I'm this and I'm that, and I don't have to talk to anybody, and it's just me, and I don't have to have grace, and boy, this person hurt me, and boy, they were just mean to me, and they were mean to my family. We didn't sing the song I wanted to, and the pastor didn't call on me, and I didn't get to play the piano. All of a sudden, we start treating God's house as if it is all about us, and we can sit here and amen at the length of God's love, but the length of God's love is not just so you and I soak it up, soak it up, soak it up, soak it up. No, it's for you and I to continue to share it with a lost and dying world, a world that is around us. And while you and I sit there and, well, I'm just not a very happy person, or I'm just not a very nice person, or it's just who I am. But let me tell you something, friend. Let God change you from the inside out. And maybe it's time that you let down the drawbridge to your castle and turn a light on and let others see the light of Jesus Christ shining through you. Why? Because you and I will give an account one day. And while we think it's our pew and it's our parking space and it's our temperature, God says this, I was tortured and died for you. What are you going to do for me? What are you and I going to do for others? No, friend, I'm not here. I'm not playing around today. I'm going to come in John 3:16. Woo, God's love. Let's all soak up. Is it amazing? Absolutely. Can we comprehend it? Probably not. But it's more than just come in, hear the sermon, get fat, walk out. No, you and I are here to soak up the milk and the meat of God's word so that we go out in the highway that's in the hedges and turn Marion County, Hendricks County, upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's with me today? Amen. Friend, I've told you, we have four families that are joining the church. One's not here, so we got three that are joining this morning. As we continue to grow at at Cross Point Baptist Church, we're not going to sit here and sit back and, well, let's just get big and let's just us and our activities and our people and let's just get fat on the word. No, friend. God forbid the day ever come that we keep meeting week after week after week and nobody's getting baptized, nobody's getting saved, same people, no visitors. No one's joining. The churches that have Ichabod written on their doors have forgotten that you and I are supposed to live this. And we are to live it in such a way, hold on. Oh, get some smiles in here now. Somebody's like, man, Kerry must have wrote this message for him because it's really good today. So hold on. Let's just dig in for here for a moment. The moment that you and I come in and we feel like it's all about us, we have totally missed why we're here. We missed it. We missed why we are here congregating together. I want to remind us today. This isn't the Thomas Shepherd Show. The quartet of ladies that sang today, this isn't the quartet of ladies' music. Look, I appreciate the orchestra. Man, they got here early to practice. Sound incredible. Me and Mel were sitting over there. We're singing, Mel. I mean, Mel was singing. I mean, we were letting it rip today. Sorry, Michelle. Sorry, the front row over here. They're probably like, man, we are never sitting up here today. But hey, we were just singing out. It's not the me and Mel show. Although we ought to do a duet. I think people would, hey, come on, brother. People would enjoy it. He's like, ah, no way. I ain't singing with you. But nonetheless, it's not about us. It's not about the orchestra. It's not about the families that are going to join today. It is all about God. And we walk in here with a different attitude than that, then why are we coming? Well, fine, Pastor, I guess I'll just stay home. Let me tell you something, friend. I got so much left, but just watch now. I just want to say it again. The live stream is not meant for us just to sit at home so we can eat our Lucky Charms and we enjoy. And okay, so maybe we enjoyed that and we got in the flesh a little bit right when COVID happened. But COVID is done, friend. It's behind us. Well, not me. I tested positive. Okay, then stay home and watch live stream. But as soon as you are over it, let's assemble in God's house and worship Him together. There is a big difference. You ask any elderly person who would do anything to be here today. They would give anything to be inside. Why? They understand that watching Pastor Shepherd preach through a little screen is a big difference of singing and worshiping God together and getting down on our knees at the end of a service and thanking Him for His love. There is a massive difference of watching. That live stream was never built for us to be lazy at home so we can just sit back, relax, and well, that's it. No, God said you and I to assemble, and as we see the day approaching, that much more we ought to be together in this place. Why? Because then we begin to comprehend the breadth and the length of God's love. The length of His love. I want you to look third at the depth of our Savior's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. This depth. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15 says this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Check it out now. Watch what Paul said. Of whom I am chief. Now, I want everybody to think about this. You ready? Why did God come? Why did Jesus have a ministry on earth? He did not change Caesar, nor did He change Rome. It was not political. It was not that He was a mathematician or a scientist. He knew it all. He created it all. He's 100% God and He was 100% man. He knew it all. But He didn't change science. He didn't change the hospital systems of that day. If anything, we'd say, well, I'm sure He came in and would begin to change the commerce. I mean, the first night He was there, there was no room for Him in the inn. I'm sure He kind of got irked at that. And so I'm sure that He brought in a lot more hotels in different areas. He didn't. You know why He was here? He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You know who that is? It's everybody. I think sometimes, now let me just share my heart as your pastor. I think sometimes we feel like the candidates for salvation are those who their parents grew up in church, that they're still married after like 30 years, and they went to every youth camp, and you know they give money in the offering plate, and they tithe, and they say amen, that they're ready for salvation now. They amen, pastor. They're there. I feel like sometimes we feel like the candidates for salvation are those that look like us, dress like us, and they're ready. They're good. That we knew that was coming. Do you know who's really the candidate for salvation? Everyone. Everyone. If you saw 2 weeks ago, about 20 plus Christians in the Middle East were beheaded. I'm talking about they stood up for their faith and their head was taken. They left this earth. They're gone. Well, that's so morbid, Pastor. Can we just get back to the greatest love story? No, I want to tell you something. The men who cried out and then killed our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're the perfect candidates for salvation. God died for them. I don't know about you, but that's kind of hard to comprehend. Denny, to be honest with you, it goes against what you and I kind of feel and believe in our life. It's true. But Leroy, you know that. We don't like that. We're Americans. We bleed red, white, and blue. We're patriots. We don't like that. God said, I died for those men. There's a horrific video that came out this week. I'm telling you, made me so sick to my stomach, I could not even watch it. An abortion doctor had sat there and aborted this little baby and started hissing. Shh, I love it. Playing with this little body. Shh, I love it. Whew. Let me tell you something. It just boils my skin. Oh, it gets, man, I can't take that. And yet God said I died for that doctor. It's hard. A person who did you wrong, God died for them. Single mom in here, I know you might be mad and you've got some anger and maybe some bitterness built up, but I just want to help you today that God died for you and he died for your ex-husband as well. For the man sitting in here today and you got bitterness and you're angry and you're mad, I want to help you today. Look, we can counsel, we can do all we want to, but I want to remind you today, the blood of Jesus Christ, it was shed for your ex-wife as well. For the person that did wrong to you and your family and talked bad about your spouse and talked bad about your kids, that embarrassed you on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, that person that brought you low and really put you in your place and you feel it and you're mad and you're angry, you almost want to say, just bring it on. You want to avenge them. You're upset. Let me remind you today, the depth of God's love, Paul said, he died for me and I am the chief of sinners, and you and I have to comprehend there is none righteous, no, not one. There's not a perfect place, a perfect person in this place. You and I are all sinners. None of us deserve this kind of depth of God's love. And yet, he doesn't give us a little spoonful. He doesn't even give us a little shovelful. No, he backs up the dump trucks of love and dumps it on our life so that you and I can have the same attributes and the same attitudes, and you and I could be the same type of people and reach out and show that love to a Marion County, to a Hendricks County, to the Indianapolis, Brownsburg, Avon area, of those who are going to die not knowing the kind of love that God can give. Yeah, it's mine. It's me. You don't understand. Yeah, I get it. We get in the flesh. I'm not above that. Let's just be real today. We have to comprehend. It's hard sometimes to comprehend that kind of love. But how many are thankful? It's deep. It's so deep. It covers you and I. I want us to think about number four, the height of God's love. The height of God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, watch the promise, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 20, listen to this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might be abound, that where sin abounded, watch this, watch it now. Grace did much more abound. His wonderful love is far greater than all of our sin put together. God's gracious love is always there, and you cannot, watch now, sin your salvation away. You say, Pastor, do you believe that once saved, always saved? I do. I do. You say, you really believe in eternal security? If we believe in the love of God, then yes. I believe the Bible is clear that He has sealed you and I. Friend, we make mistakes. We sin. We fail God. But He's never failed us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The height of God's love is this, friend. It never runs out. In 2021, suicide attempts were up 200% across our nation. Suicide that actually went through was up an astronomical amount as well. As we are now coming through a post-COVID world where our lives have been touched or turned upside down in so many ways, there is a lost world that they don't know how to deal with it. They've come to a place, watch now, in their life where they say, no one loves me. No one loves me. Raising five kids, I don't think that I know of, and I could be wrong, but Carrie, I don't think our kids have ever asked, or at least they haven't me, Dad, do you love me? Is that a true statement, Carrie? I don't remember my kids ever saying, Dad, do you love me? Because I do love them. You know, there may become a time, Brother George, in my life, I'm not really showing them the love that they think ought to show them. And God forbid, but there may come a time in my kids' lives where they feel like nobody loves them. Say, Pastor, why are you using your kids as an example? It's kind of morbid. Because I'm telling you this, friend, I don't care if you're a PK or deacon's kid. I don't care if you're a teenager or grew up in church. You can go through moments in your life where you feel like no one loves me. Wife doesn't act like it. Husband doesn't act like it. Mom and dad don't act like it. Grandparents never talk to them. Come in church and I feel lonely. To be honest with you, Pastor, there's been moments in my life, maybe recently, I've thought about just calling it quits. Would anybody miss me? I don't know. Probably not. Does anybody love me? Yeah, I don't know. Let me tell you something, teenager. College student, you look right up here for just a moment. Young adult, old adult, I don't care where you're at in your life stage. You look right here in these eyes. And my mom, you say, look at the white of my eyes. Now, we were in trouble when she said that. You're not in trouble, but I want you to look at the white of my eyes for just a moment. You stop. Stop. Don't you think about suicide or calling it quits. Because the height of God's love says, I died for you. And you know what He's saying? I love you. I love you. How's that sound today? I just want somebody to tell me they love me. Here's God. I love you. I just want somebody, I just miss a good hug. Here's God. Come here, child. I'll scoop you up. yeah, but I just think, no, here's what you need. You need a God who sent his son and died for you. Why? Pastor, why me? I'll tell you why. Because he loves you. And I'm telling you, friend, when we begin to comprehend that kind of love, it changes, Brother Donnie, changes our entire life. Ben, Katie, we're not the same people we used to be. Josh, Gloria, the way we raise our kids changes. The way we find our identity, it changes. John, Sylvia, everything about life, when we comprehend, he says every day, I love you, and nothing changes that. It will absolutely alter Cross Point Baptist Church. And it's going to shake us up. And we're going to see God do something that maybe we haven't seen since we've read of the revivals in the early 1900s. Now, God's not doing that anymore. Oh, ye of little faith. The greatest love story. Do you believe it? Do you know it? And do we share it?